From Raleigh, North Carolina, it's The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack, a podcast dedicated to the show Lost on ABC. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
And welcome to the Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack. We are starting part two of our special season one finale Lost Podcast with our good friend Jorge Garcia. If you don't listen to part one, please go back and listen to part one first, and then go ahead and start part two, which will begin now, where we'll finish up our look back on Exodus part one, two, and three. I'm also going to look ahead to what we're going to cover next on the Lost Podcast, which will be the premiere of season two. We will also get a new crackpot theory from Jack that cannot be disproven, and a special surprise from Jorge Garcia closing out the show. So now let's let our look back on Exodus part one, two, and three continue. So Charlie and Saeed go after, we learn that the baby's name is Aaron.
I forgot we didn't know that until that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Which you didn't name it till that point.
Yeah, exactly. And there is the scene where Charlie gets fooled by the booby trap, and then we have the gunpowder sealed up wound. Now, this is one thing that always bugged me, is the gunpowder's like all over his face. Wouldn't that burn his entire face? Like, it's all over his eye and everything? That always freaked me out.
Well, you only touch the match to the part that's on the wound.
But wouldn't it spread? Wouldn't it, like, ignite Saeed. Everything around it?
You're questioning Saeed?
Yeah, you're right. You're right, but it always kind of freaked me out.
It's like, you know, like when you use like that, you know, that really stingy stuff that you used to put on wounds, like mm-hmm. when you wound yourself.
Yeah.
Saeed was there just to kind of blow on it just right.
Yeah, it's true. And he also takes a breather break at the plane, to which Charlie is reintroduced to his old nemesis, the heroin.
It wasn't much of a breather break. Was that just done so they could show the heroin?
Probably. But again, you saw Charlie was struggling the whole time.
He goes, we'll take a breather break. Then he talks, and then 2 seconds later, they're off running again.
Yeah. Going back to the dynamite, Kate, as usual, wants to carry a pack for some reason, because she always has to go on the hike or put herself in harm's way.
She's Kate.
Or not listen to Jack and then come back and get kidnapped and ruin the whole entire plan.
Whoa. Spoiler.
Oh, spoiler. Sorry.
We haven't got that far yet.
So she wants to carry a pack and they draw straws. You know, you criticize Locke a lot, but I kind of agree with Locke throughout most of this episode where he questions Jack on these things. Like, we don't have time to argue. We're just going to draw straws. You know,
well, it takes time to draw straws.
Well, the thing is, yeah, he questions Jack on every one of Jack's decisions, and you just kind of start because you know the tension they have. You start like feeling like going, oh, another one. It's like, oh, he can't. He doesn't give Jack a single one of these to at least be like, okay, good. I go, oh, this is gonna come to a head.
You need to be the leader, Jack. I'm going to question everything you do.
Although, it is one of my all-time favorite moments when he's got the dynamite in his hand and he goes, bzz.
Yes. Yes.
That was funny.
But even then, that's a great scene between the two of them where he's like, you like to play games, Locke? And he says, yeah.
Oh, no, they're great together. Don't get me wrong. But I could you work with someone like that?
No, I mean, as a manager and leader of people, it's annoying when people do that. But
someone that's questioning you all the time, so you finally just look at him like.
Well, it would eventually be, oh, if you don't want to be here, then go. Like, I don't. But anywho, going to the.
Well, Jack does have the line where Jack says, everyone wants me to be a leader until I say something that they don't like.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is a great, you know, it's like, touche.
Yep. Absolutely. Walt and Michael have a great bonding moment. And their flashbacks in the finale, part one and part two, I thought were really good. And kind of showing the parallels between where they were and where they are now. But it was a sweet moment.
When he said, your mom didn't want me to visit you.
Yeah.
And he says, like, she thought that was the best thing. Mm-hmm. Like, in a way, he kind of defends it for a second, and then Walt has that was wrong, and that, you know, it's a sweet moment.
And that's when the rudder comes off.
Yep, the rudder comes
the log out of nowhere. Now, remember, a lot of times something would happen that Walt didn't like. Something happened. He was upset at that point because, you know, he realizing his dad's been out of his life because his mom.
So you're saying he brought upon the log?
I don't know. This log comes out of nowhere. Middle of the ocean.
I never thought about that.
I said at that point, I never thought about it until I was watching again. He says to the, he knows it's, he's in his mind, he's like, wow, my mom kept me away from my dad. Mm-hmm. That's wrong. Boom, rudder falls off. This log out of nowhere comes out of it. Yeah.
I think you just blew a nice opportunity for a crackpot theory, personally.
Yeah, I did. But, you know.
So it's like, so you're saying it's like he's just out of control emotionally still.
Yeah.
And so it was just him being upset that produces a log.
Or pulls the log towards him, maybe.
Pulls the log towards him, or he seemed something. He did, you know, there was always that thing that he had special powers. He was a special child. He was, you know, that's why the others wanted him. And we never got that because, you know, he grew and all that different stuff. But it just seems it happened right when he said that. And he looks at his dad and it was a great scene. But then he realizes, wow, my mom kept my dad away from me. Boom. The rudder gets knocked off by this log out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there.
No, I think that's a pretty good theory, actually. One I didn't even really think about.
That's what I'm here for.
Michael notices that Sawyer has a gun with him.
Yeah.
Which will come into play a little bit later. We also get the first glimpse of the smoke monster, and I think the first time we hear the Hurley Bird, I think that's the first Hurley Bird.
I think so, yeah.
But yes, the smoke monster appears. I forgot that we saw that much of the smoke monster. I thought we really didn't get to see the smoke monster until 23rd Psalm, the Mr. Echo episode. But really, you kind of get a pretty good glimpse.
Is this the scene where you're talking about where Locke's not running?
Yeah, and you hear it going, and then
he's smiling because remember what he saw the first time was beautiful.
Well, it's true, and then that's where, you know,
this time it wasn't.
Well, Jack says drop the bags and go, and you know they all do it, but then he's
towards. Kate didn't drop the bag.
That's true. That
she still had her bag on, and she thought she still had the dynamite too.
Yeah, awkward.
Well, there are two smoke monster run-ins. There's he's going the other way.
Yep. And you have
and then that one.
Yeah. And then where he's kind of going towards it. And it takes Locke.
Yeah, he chases it and then starts blowing those trees out.
Yep. Yeah, but he showed fear in this one. So it goes back to that theory where there are two different smoke monsters. Or did the first time it showed him something that he just... Because he wasn't afraid. Where everybody else is just terrified of this thing. They're running for their life. But he was never afraid until it grabbed him.
Well, in Walkabout, no, even then, because in Walkabout, it was kind of this beautiful thing that he saw, right?
Right.
Or this gargantuan beautiful thing. And in this one, eventually it starts that way for when he's looking at it, and then his face turns to fear,
right?
Which is, we assume, is the dark smoke monster. But was this white or light smoke monster, was that, could Jacob turn into a type of monster? Was it only
I thought he couldn't. I thought he was always just Jacob.
I get it. But then why was it different the first time?
Did it show, because remember it showed echo images of what his different things in his life. Did it show Locke maybe something?
But Echo didn't see the images. That's what the smoke monster was seeing. Echo didn't see that.
Okay. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't have an answer for you.
It could just be one of those things.
Yeah.
No, it might just be demanding respect. It's like, no, you should fear me.
Yeah.
I'm not your, you know.
I'm not your friend.
Yeah.
But the smoke monster can't.
You think that you know what this island's about, but no, you should fear me.
You don't. But the smoke monster can't kill him though,
because he's on the list.
Right.
But he gets grabbed and gets tried to take down to a hole. Jack's trying to save him, but Locke wants him to let him go. He's going to be okay. And then you do have the awkward scene where Kate's trying to get the dynamite out of her bag. He's like, nope, it's not in your pack. It's in mine. You need to go back and get it.
Darn you, Jack. And you think for a second Jack thought, you know, my problems could be a lot easier. I just let him go.
But that's not Jack's way, you know?
I get it, but you're thinking, this guy is always fighting with me. If I just let go, who's going to blame me?
And they throw the Dynamite down in the.
But Locke didn't want him to do that.
No, no, he
no,
was upset.
Don't do it, Kate. Don't do it, Kate. I'll be fine.
And the smoke monster, I guess, gets hurt and it blows out and then it goes away. And we kind of see it there. But pretty crazy scene, pretty intense.
Mm-hmm. And the whole clicking sound, click, 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 click.
Yeah. very mechanical.
Right.
But back to the ref, we have a nice bonding scene between Michael and Jin where they bond over the watch and talking about things. So another kind of story resolution for season one, which was the conflict between Michael and Jin.
I noticed Jin still has his handcuff on.
Yep, he'll have it into season two. And going towards when they're going to set up the dynamite on the hatch, and Jack's at this point just done with John Locke, and they have their classic man of science, man of faith argument. Going back and watching it now, Locke was right about everything that he said about the island choosing everybody. And then
He wasn't. It was Jacob that chose him.
Well, but Jacob represents the island. He's the protector of the island.
Okay.
So
it wasn't actual island. Jacob.
But again, Locke was dead on in every single thing Locke said.
Was he dead on about Boone being the sacrifice?
No.
Well, but so then that's a go into the theory that...
No, you can't protect Locke on that one.
Well, we talked about this on the last podcast, so I don't know if you heard, but the theory that really Locke was supposed to discover the Pearl Station.
Right.
That's why the plane was there.
But Locke did, but Boone didn't have to die to find it.
Well, it's Boone's fault. He should have gotten out of the plane.
Oh, it's all Boone's fault.
It's Boone's choice.
Boone's choice. I did later on in the episode. Claire's talking to son.
Yes, it's a good scene.
And she overhears something. She says, "There's no such thing as fate." Mm-hmm. So I said, "Oh, it runs in the family." I mean, am I right? I mean, at this point, we don't know they're related, but
the shepherd attitude about
it is. There's no such thing as fate.
Nice. Good point. Very good point.
thank you.
So we have then the just it still gives me goosebumps, the scene where the others show up. One, you have this sense of hope that they're going to get found. And then it's like the debate on shooting the flare, and they shoot.
Well, Michael doesn't want to do it.
He doesn't want to do it. And then, you know, Sawyer pretty much almost forces him to do it, and they do it.
First they're arguing about should they even turn the radar on, and Sawyer goes, Saeed said to do it every hour.
Yeah,
got to do what the man says.
It goes from that, and you know, the elation that they shine the light. It's like, oh my god. And then it turns south really quick when he says, we're going to have to take the boy. And
what?
And what I loved about that scene was that there's a good long silence after they say that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like sit there for a second to allow the viewer to, for to see it, to be like, what? Like, what did he say?
Yeah.
And then then we continue and he goes, what? And I think that's pretty great.
Gonna have to take the boy.
I loved back when, because I think it was the Scott and Steve podcast where they were called Sea Billies.
Yes, Billies. Yep.
Yep.
Mr. Friendly.
Isn't that in your song?
What?
Would you call him Fred?
Zeke the Friendly Sea Billy. Yeah,
That's what it is. Okay, yeah.
It still gave me chills. Like when he's screaming, Walt! Whoa!
Well, that's where we get the Walt.
Well, there's a lot of Walts.
I know, but that was the classic Walt.
But it's still just so spooky because you kind of just see, you don't really ever see the others too much, right? It's in the shadows. It's very well done with the shining of the light, and all you kind of see is Walt's face and just the scared look on his face being taken away.
Help me!
It's still a very powerful scene.
And Harold's close up. They had to like do it like in like it was almost like he had to do it in like a bucket of water kind of thing. It's like a small thing. And he like dunk his head and lift it up. When this close up had to be done as like a pickup shot.
Oh really?
Oh really?
Yeah. And they faked it somewhere to get the close up that close.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow, that makes sense though. It's probably hard to do that in the sea. But just a really, it was giving me hardcore goosebumps when I was watching. It's still a great scene.
Well, I can remember we were watching this the first time. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my god, what's going on? What's going on? It's just exciting scene.
Yep. And then we have the hatch being blown up. Before that happens, Hurley sees the numbers and he's like, "No, the numbers are bad. The numbers are bad."
And Locke says, "I don't care. I'm blowing it up anyway."
Right.
Yep. That was Locke kind of taking things in his own hands. And also, I love that, you know, when Hurley is doing Lenny's numbers, and Kate notices 23, because 23 is the amount of money.
Reward.
The reward that the farmer got. So again, a nice little playback there. Nice kind of callback to numbers.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to. I was trying to basically do an impression of the way that guy did it in that episode.
23, 42, 4, 8.
Yeah.
It's hard to do.
But a great scene where the hatch blows up and they look down the hatch and nothing is there yet. So they build up the entire season, and that it angered a lot of people that they didn't find out what was in the hatch yet.
Well, we only had to wait a week
because we didn't start. We watched it on DVD, but for a lot of people, they had to wait that whole off season to find out what was in the hatch. For you, Jorge, being on the show, did you feel the controversy more at the time, or was it just kind of?
No, I didn't. It didn't even cross my mind until people started getting all mad about it. Mm-hmm. I was like, "Oh, I see. I guess they wanted more than that."
Did you guess it would be a Scotsman down there?
No, I remember we used to joke over the summertime, like, "What's in there?" JJ would joke, "Another hatch."
And the flashbacks in this were very good. You had Jin's flashback, and we figure out the story behind the watch. You have Charlie's flashback and kind of the sad state that he was in with the drugs. You had Michael's flashback, where he kind of confessed to his mom that this was how was supposed to be this way.
With Walt standing right there.
It was like from, I remember at the time that we were shooting it, and looking at it, I go, whoa, because of the timing of the Game Boy that Walt had, I was going, oh no, you need to give him the older gen Game Boy if he's going to run out of batteries, because this one's a charge battery. You don't buy batteries for this one.
You're right. Because it was the Game Boy SP, I think. And that one, it was rechargeable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then you have Hurley's flashback, which is great.
Which is hilarious. I did have a stupid question for you. Not if you remember, if it's even important, but when the car breaks down on you,
yeah,
and you're running to the airport, your one suitcase isn't on the side with the wheels. You turned it over at the last second. Was that planned, or is that just me looking for something?
On the run, where I have to flip it around?
You're running, and then the suitcase isn't the right way.
It's the damn handle. That handle with that suitcase, it kept flipping around on me.
Okay.
And I had to kept adjusting it. Also, you know, that's the guy, remember the guy in the Rascal?
Yeah.
Is the priest, is played by the same guy who played the priest in Charlie's flashback, where he's going to the confession.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Same actor.
How was it filming that scene? Because honestly, it was exhausting for me. Because Jack and I had our own adventure like that at airport once, where we were on Houston. One side of it is a big long airport, and I had the luggage, and it was flipping all over the place as it wouldn't stay together and running down the thing. I think my pants were falling down because they were too.
You were way behind me. That's all I know.
It was just horrible.
Well, we got delayed in San Diego. And by the time we took off, there wasn't enough time. We landed, the plane should have already been gone. You ever been to Houston?
No.
They have the longest taxi. You land like on another, you have to cross a bridge that crosses a freeway or something like that. And you're just like, you taxi.
Oh, yeah.
And they even said, hey, people, can you let the people that have to get? Of course, nobody does. They all jump up. We're like, oh, come on. So we sprint. It's like a mile. It had to be a mile. We ran all the way across the airport to get there, but our plane was delayed. The only reason we didn't weren't in Houston that night is our plane was delayed. Our connection was delayed.
Yeah, we lucked out.
But our car didn't break down and all the other stuff. We just had to run through an airport.
There was parts that weren't in the cut. Oh, really? I had to run up an escalator.
Ugh.
That was the hardest part.
Oh, my God.
Like, and then run up the escalator and then ride it down. And it was a super long escalator. And I run up it. I had to run up the whole length of the escalator with people on it. So I'm like ducking around people. Yeah. And I'm just hitting background people with my luggage. And I'm running through it. And then turn around and ride it down and try to catch my breath on the ride down, which seemed like it went so much faster, to do another take immediately after that. And then, like, I did about, I don't know how many, maybe three of those. Like, I remember, like, my last take of it, I almost collapsed at the top. I was just like, I can't do any more of these.
Do you get something like that and you see the final scene? Do you go, that didn't make it? Do you get upset?
Well, I was like, going, I did, basically, it's like, wow, I did all that work for nothing.
Do you say anything or just go, I'm going to keep quiet, but...
Who am I going to say it to? No, I'm just like, man. No, but it's like, as an actor, you get used to having your stuff cut out. It's just like, that's just, it's just part of it. And it's all for time. It's just, there's all these different things. However, driving around in that scooter was a blast.
Oh, I bet.
Especially the last part where I'm like crashing into the seats.
Yeah.
And then I liked when I came up with the thing to try to push it through myself, push the ticket through the ticket reader.
Yeah. That scene is my favorite scene.
It's like, come on. And I just push it through.
I love that scene because it's just the
That gets you shot. Normally, that'd get you shot.
Well, no, but just the comedic timing was perfect. Like it was,
and it was Jack Bender's idea to stick my tongue out when I do the thumbs up to Walt, and that turned out pretty good too. Like I was like I did. Like he goes, why don't you like when you go by? He's like, do like a thing. Why don't you do how about something like this? And he like sticks his tongue out. And I was like going,
I thought I don't get it,
but it worked.
I thought the ticket agent.
Cool.
I thought the ticket agent was rather rude.
What are you talking about? Oh.
Oh, when I buy the ticket,
and she's like, dun 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 dun.
Yeah, but she's like, click, click, click.
Kind of in a hurry here.
Click.
Was there no first class on the plane?
There was. There must have been.
Because
flights have to happen.
Because Shannon was upset that she didn't get first class.
Well, I guess it was all taken.
It was all occupied.
Hurley was worth like $150 million.
Oh, yeah, because she was upset that they were in business, right?
Right.
Yeah. So there was a first class. Yeah.
But it was full.
Oh, okay.
Plus, if Hurley was in first class, he would have died with all the other front of the plane people.
I don't know. Charlie was in the front of the plane, somehow survived.
What's part of the bathroom. And then he ran. But remember, he ran back.
He was in the toilet.
He was in the toilet, but he ran to the nearest seat.
That's true. Let's not pick it too far apart.
All right. It's Rousseau's fault.
And then you have John Locke's flashback, which again,
that was sad.
It was. And then kind of closing out the episode before we get.
But the thing though, but that though is that yes, it's really humiliating getting carried on to the plane.
Yeah.
But once he's sitting in that seat, he's just like anybody else again.
Right.
It's true. There's something
about like he goes and he sees Jack put his bag up and he's just like everybody else.
It's true, but
no one knows he can't walk when everyone has to be seated anyway.
It's true, but he. My thing was, well, what if he has to go to the bathroom? What is he going to do? Going to have to pick
he's
him up.
He's not nervous.
I guess so.
Yeah. I thought the same thing. He's probably wearing Depends or something.
I don't know.
It's possible. That's possible.
Just saying.
But then just going to the last scenes of the everybody getting on the plane, coinciding with them going around to the blown out hatch. Just a really playing the life and death music.
The other thing was the thing where I get tackled by Bad Fox when the thing explodes. It was just so funny because there's no way that it didn't end up awkward every time.
Now, did you guys have
rehearsing it? It was ridiculous. And then and we do like a dance twirl to the ground.
Did they have like a pad or a soft mat that you'd be able to like jump into or something? Or
there were some things that were, some takes were padded, some takes I think weren't padded.
Okay.
But I think it's kind of like the padded takes, you took a more cavalier dive, mm-hmm. and then the ones that weren't padded was more kind of a more careful or like from the knees down kind of thing. To I don't remember exactly. I'd have to watch it again to see what part of the bit, which take officially did it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, very cool. Well, that wraps up Exodus Part 1, 2, and 3. If you're watching on Netflix, anything else you want to talk about the episodes, Jorge? Before we go to the 5 most pivotal moments.
No, I think that's pretty good for me.
All right.
Yeah, I'm good.
So, number one, pivotal moments. The others are coming. We have the first conflict, face-to-face conflict between the others, and we see the others for the first time in these three episodes. That's important. Mm-hmm. Number two, all the character resolutions. I kind of talked about it during the thing, but a lot of storylines tidied up a little bit. You had Michael and Jin's. You had Michael and Walt's until they were separated again. Jin and Sun, Sawyer and Jack. You kind of set up the big battle between John Locke and Jack.
Yeah, we're going to have a Locke problem.
Yeah, we're going to have a Locke problem.
Do you have my back, Kate?
Yeah, you have my back. So yeah, just a lot of character resolutions, and then also setting stuff up for season 2 and beyond. But I just, to me, watching that whole thing between Jack and Locke, it had a good parallel to the end of the series. That ended up being the big conflict where Jack was really taking up John Locke's mantle of we have to go back and fighting, Man in Black.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Just a cool little parallel there in the story. Number three.
Yeah, kind of like Jack had to leave the island to realize that, oh no, he was right all along.
Yeah, yeah. Number three, the smoke monster appears. So a major character and entity about the whole show. We really kind of get a good glimpse of the character this time. Number four, they open the hatch, but we still don't know what's inside. And number five, the others take Walt, and
that was a big one.
Yeah, and I mean honestly, at that point, Michael and Walt never really have their,
no,
because Michael tries to do right or get him back, but he kills Anna Lucia and maybe to do it, and then.
Spoiler.
Happens. And then he dies on the raft when it explodes, and then he's a ghost on the island that can't go back. And I guess you kind of hope that with Walt going back to the island in the end with the epilogue, that they hopefully can kind of...
Well, what about the whole boat ride?
I guess, yeah, you had the boat ride to the...
No, when Ben gives him the boat.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But we don't know that. We don't see that, do we?
No, we see them go away on the boat.
We see them go away on the boat, but...
But there's friction, though, when they get back to the... They're not getting along.
Because of what he did to do
right.
it. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly, because...
His guilt, and he just can't... You're right, there's never...
Yeah.
It's almost like Sun and Jin.
It's kind of a tragic story in the end. All right, now it's time for I Want Some Friggin' Answers.
All right.
So let's look at some of the things that were posed in this that we get answers to. Probably the big one here is the what's in the hatch. We finally blew open it, but we don't get the answer until the very beginning of season 2.
Well, we get answers, though.
We do. We do get the answer. But I think it was just one of those ones that riled the fans a little bit
Yeah.
But honestly, looking back in the show as a whole, I still think it's a really satisfying season finale, in my opinion.
Oh, I had no problem with it. We only had to wait a week.
Well, okay, I'm saying, just looking back now, you have the whole show. You can binge watch it if you want to binge watch the entire thing. I think it's a good conclusion to season one.
I think going back the whole, I can't see a lot of people complaining about the whole season one, about anything, mm-hmm. really. I mean, it's just almost like the perfect season, television season. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just me.
Let's see what else we have. How did the Black Rock get there?
Mm-hmm. We find out, yeah.
We find that one out. Who are these others? Who is the bearded man?
Right.
And that sets up in that one where they're playing this ruse, so to speak, where they're these, you know, not living so well, and they kind of have, you know, scrap clothing and stuff like that. But really, it's all just an act that we find out later on.
Right. Yeah, did set it up as that, or was it like the execution of it made us go like, oh man, these beards, I don't know. Let's just make them fake beards.
I don't know. It's a good point. It's a good question.
I always go back to when talking to Brian Burke about the Dharma Shark, mm-hmm. and the whole idea of the Dharma Shark kind of coming out of like, how do I make this shark? How do I distract people from how fake the shark looks? Why don't we put a Dharma symbol on it, and then that's all they'll talk about.
It's smart though, because it worked.
It totally worked.
Sawyer gets shot, so the question there was, is Sawyer dead? And Jin goes in after him.
Because
we didn't know. We wouldn't know until season two that
Sawyer's just not quick. He's not. He had the gun, but he's not too quick on the draw.
No, not in that case. What happens to Walt? You know, what's going to happen there? We get that answered. Yeah, pretty much everything gets answered. I can't think of any, except for what Jorge brought up with who actually lit
the smoke.
Who
lit that fire?
Yeah, who lit the fire?
Well, I think I answered that.
I think we have a new a new parody song for We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel. I think we got to put that one up.
Good idea. That's a good idea.
Set that one up.
You know, now someone's going to take that idea from you, Jay.
No, we said it here. That's like copyright, right? It's published.
Is it published? That's okay.
Who cares who does the song?
Yeah. Podcasting law.
If the song is good, then we applaud it.
There you go. There you go.
If the song is bad, then you still try to do one.
Perfect.
If someone does it,
exactly.
What are you going to get out of the fact that you made the song up? And, you know, it's like
bragging rights.
Right. And that will get you what? Who are you going to brag to?
My wife.
You brag yourself in the comfort of your own room.
You'll tell your son 10 years from now.
Hey, by the way, even
Zachary,
though this isn't my song, it was my idea.
It was my idea. So I had that idea.
You have me to thank for this song either way.
It's like Night Shift. You ever seen Night Shift with Michael Keaton and Henry Winkler?
You know, it's... I don't know if I have. I mean, I feel like I've seen bits of it at least, and I remember it, but I don't know if I've seen it straight through.
Because there's a scene where he says something. I had the idea for that, but it was already invented. So there you go. They will have that.
Well, my favorite bit in that is because Michael Keaton goes around the tape recorder, tape recording his ideas. He's like, wait a second. What if the tuna fish already has the mayonnaise in it?
In
like,
it.
Oh, wait a minute.
No, what no. If- You feed the tuna fish.
You feed the tuna fish.
You feed the mayonnaise to the fish. There you go. Call Starkus. great movie.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
All right. So now it's time for Next on Lost. Here we go. Next on Lost. Next on Lost. The TV show. Next on Lost. Next on Lost. Maybe it's next week, maybe it's in a couple days. Cause next on Lost, Lost, Lost. All right, next on Last Time, we have closed out season one, and then we're going on to season two, the first four episodes of season two. And our good friend Rolf Oppel will be joining us for this podcast to kick off season two of Lost. So it should be a lot of fun. So check with us 2 weeks from now for that podcast.
How many episodes are we doing on that one?
Four episodes.
Four, okay.
And with season two, we're also going to be re-releasing our old podcast. So next week will be the
first... I don't know why we're doing that.
First ever Lost podcast will be posted next week. So that should be fun.
Have you heard it recently?
It's pretty horrible listening to it. So
it's definitely nothing to brag about.
Most definitely. Jorge, I think your call was the sixth episode or fifth episode, somewhere around there. But yeah.
Is that how it all started?
That's how it all started.
From there we skyrocketed. It was great.
It's the beginning of the rise, the top. No.
It was, I don't want to do this.
Oh, man. All right. So, Jack, it is now time for your crackpot theory of the week that cannot be disproven. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right, here we go.
Russo started the fire. No, I'm kidding.
Russo started the fire.
It's been always burning. I guess it's got through. Whatever it is. We see.
If you're going to do We Didn't Start the Fire, it should be like almost like an argument song between the others and Russo, and each one claiming that it wasn't them.
That's true. That's true. We didn't start the fire. It didn't make sense for us to do it. We're going to get the kid anyway.
Actually, it makes no sense either. You're looking back on it. What was the point of the fire?
I'm saying, is this cause a distraction?
To scare the Losties.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they got the kid anyway. The raft was going to go in the water.
Hold on. I'm wrong. That may not be the point of the fire, but that was the result of it.
Yeah.
True. We may never know the point.
The raft was going in the water no matter what. Right?
Yeah, but we've talked about it. Okay, no need to go back.
I'm cool.
What is your crackpot theory of the week, good sir?
We see Art's leaving. Art's leaves.
Like he's blown up?
No, he's leaving. Remember, he leaves.
Yes.
He leaves the group. I'm going back. So then all of a sudden we hear this guy screaming and yelling coming back, and the smoke monster's chasing him back.
Yeah.
I think the smoke monster, he can't kill people, right? Because we're assuming Arts was on the list because he survived the plane crash.
We'd assume so, yes.
Okay. So smoke monster can't kill him, but if he sends him back, he knows they're going to the dynamite.
I don't know if we assume just because you survived the plane crash you're on the list.
True. Really?
No, I don't think so.
I assume that's the only reason why people survive is because they were on the list.
And so basically they crash the plane and they're able to protect people during the crash so that they don't die?
I thought that didn't Jacob touch everybody, and that's why the plane, because even Locke says in this episode, one of them, that when he's talking to Jack, he says, you know, we survived a plane crash. Some of us was barely a scratch.
Yeah.
So there's something going on with the island. So I'm assuming, maybe I'm wrong, but the people that survived were probably on the list. They're all brought there for a reason.
Speaking from someone who was on that list, I guess it just makes it less special.
Okay. Anyway.
You tell me that I'm the same as Arts, is that what you're telling me?
Well, no, because Arts dies.
All right, go on.
Anyway, that he was pushed back to the... He was pushed back because... Look, this is the third time I've had to do these things. Okay, he was pushed back so he would die or maybe kill all of them with the dynamite. Except Locke. He needed Locke to live. But that's why he pushed him. That's why he came back. That's all I had from this.
So Smoke Monster sent him back by scaring him.
Pushing him back to the group so that he would get to the dynamite and possibly blow himself up and everybody else up but Locke. Or at least himself up. Because why would he come?
He like herded him back.
Herded him, yeah. Like a sheepdog. Pushed him back. That's all I got. Should have stuck with the other one I had. I can't remember what it was, but the one earlier.
The Walt one that he...
Yeah, that cursed one.
But I think this is a good theory, Jack. I'm going to support you in this theory.
Well, if you're going to support me in this theory, I'll give you 50% on your other one.
What?
That the other started the fire. I'll kind of push a little back that way.
Oh, okay.
But you're going to give me half?
I'll give you half.
Giving me is half?
All right, 75.
All right, I'll take that.
How is that better?
3/4, I'll take it.
3/4, okay.
I'll take it. All right, well, there you go. There's Jack.
Oh, hey, I got my... Go ahead.
Finish. Oh, I was... Yeah, just...
You're doing it again, Jay.
What? I didn't close do nothing.
No, man. Close it up. Go ahead, close it up.
That is Jack's crack by the end of the week. The campaign is proven and...
Yeah, I'm sticking with it. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you can't miss the catchphrase.
No. I don't feel that good about it.
Yeah, you seem kind of indifferent.
Well, you know, just like I was watching, I go, oh, I just kind of circle it thinking, anyway, move on.
Okay.
It's late.
Oh, it is late for you guys.
Yeah, for you, it's like only like 5 o'clock probably, right?
6 right now.
Oh, there you go. But what were you going to say?
I was going to say I have my top 5 moments of the whole series, Volume 2.
Ooh, nice. All right. Exciting.
Although, bzzzt.
Did that get on there?
When that happened, I go, oh, man, should I change it, boot something from this list and put something new on? No, I'm going to leave it out. These are the top 5. These are like – I basically had like a list of 10 the last time we did this and mm-hmm. I basically separated it into 2 lists of 5 so I can do it twice because I knew I was going to do this follow-up show. So these are at – I don't know if these are in any particular order. I'm just going to rattle them off. Chin telling a ghost story by the fire.
Ah,
yeah, yeah.
That's a good. That's a great.
It was such a funny bit.
Yes.
And him, you know, it like and like us, you know, and him just it's like just getting the stories, you know, strictly based on the inflection of his voice mm-hmm. that when the moment was and the way he's holding the flashlight
yep.
and he's doing the voices. It's just pretty funny.
Yes, that is a great scene.
That is a funny scene.
I forgot about that scene. Good call.
The moment with Michael Emerson sitting on the log where we share the candy bar.
Oh, yeah.
And we you know, there's still – like when we went through it all and we realized we missed one beat that we should have done was – but that whole long – just taking the whole thing and taking our time with the looks and the looking away and then the reaching it out, like that whole bit.
Mm-hmm.
That was just we really were really proud of the beats we took in that piece and just kept like kind of like defining it and analyzing it, trying to make it like even more and more, you know, this is like nuanced and just, you know, let's just taking our time with it was really great. I really loved the scene where Charlie and Hurley are listening to records in the hatch.
Yes. Yes.
And it was such a great bonding moment for the two characters.
Yep.
And it kind of created this kind of dorm room moment for these two guys. But it was also kind of funny because we were kind of ignoring each other and just kind of saying what was on our minds about ourselves
mm-hmm.
and not really interacting with what the other one was saying. Mm-hmm. Until Saeed comes in and says, like, this music's depressing. And we're like, oh, we can change it.
But it's such a great, like, almost like out of, I don't know, or just out of body experience almost to the story, you know. It's just a great little
like the feeling of that scene that like, oh, this could have happened anywhere.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
for a second then we weren't on the island.
Exactly
This is really great. Going down the hill in the van.
Ah,
yeah. Oh yeah,
the part of the hill that we really got to go down, you know, the part when we got to really do a little bit of that drive was great.
Now, did you, for safety reasons, they probably let you go. If I remember, it was a pretty,
we didn't do the big hill.
Yeah.
The big hill was the scent drivers. But then there was this little hill, like the finish of it mm-hmm. when we finally come down, we straighten out and stuff and then drive around and that make it try to do donuts and that. Like, but also just like the whole, because it was a long period of just the four of us hanging around, and because there's so many different scenes that led up to the moment where we finally pushed it down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fun kind of few days of work.
Yeah, for sure.
And then the last one, which might be, you know, my personal greatest moment on the show was the first time I was driven onto set. Aww. And the first time I saw the crash site and the smoke and the wing in the air and the whole, this giant thing, that it was, it made such an impression on me coming in. It was like my, you know, the biggest job I've ever had. And, mm-hmm. And then you show up and you go, this is way bigger than I even realized.
Something you'll never forget.
Yeah.
I would be scared. Like, I would be more scared. Like, you're already kind of, maybe kind of intimidated, and you see that, like, oh my, this is like, this is big. This is.
Were you nervous? Scared?
I was scared knowing that I was going to have to run and dive out of away from an exploding plane wing. And knowing that, you know, they're going to take care of an actor on some level, but how much of that is going to be real scary?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And am I going to be able to perform the proper, am I going to do it justice?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. That's.
I was like, that's action movie stuff.
Yeah.
I don't do action movie stuff. I do wacky neighbor stuff.
But I mean, I love that your impression kind of coming to the set the first time is the same as like a viewer seeing that scene for the first time. Cause the viewer has that same type of experience. Like, whoa, that's, you just, that when the camera pans and you see the chaos that's going on.
Yeah. When Jack runs in there and he sees everything, you're like going, what the hell is going on here?
Like, amazing shot. So it's cool that that's kind of your perspective, but for more you coming and seeing it in person for the first time, it's pretty cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Part two list. Fantastic.
Is there going to be a part three list?
If we do another one of these, I'll have to come up with something.
If Jack can do 75,000 crackpot theories, it could be a part three.
All spot on, I might add. Except maybe the last one.
Well, awesome. Thank you, Jorge. And thank you for coming on again. And sorry that there was such a delay between these episodes.
No worries.
But again, it worked part of your plan. To get Zach sick and then have me
go see The Wedding Ringer. Come on, give us a good opening weekend.
Yeah, and again, I guess Jorge kind of teased it there, but there might be something for us Lost fans, maybe at the end of the movie.
Yeah, if you don't go see it this weekend, someone might spoil it for you.
Yeah, so check it
out. Should we tweet that or put it on Facebook, or should we not? Or should we wait?
Should you them? What? Promote the movie on Facebook and Twitter?
Or just say that there's something maybe towards Lost fans. Okay.
Yes.
I don't want to make a mistake.
I've been posting Wedding Ringer stuff this whole week. Like the director's like emailing us going, hey, here's a picture you can post. Come on. We gotta rally it up and get the word out.
Tomorrow the
Wedding Ringer's taking over my Twitter account.
So it's at the very end of the movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen the screening yet. I don't know if it's before the credits or after the credits, but
stay
you'll know it when you see it.
So we say Lost fans need to stay to the end.
Yeah, don't miss it.
There you go. Perfect. Actually, I think I took a picture because they had Wedding Ringer stuff all over New York City. Hey, I know that guy.
I know that dude,
but
yeah, it was cool making the poster, getting on the poster. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's awesome.
But definitely go check it out.
Is Kevin
it looks
Hart,
like a lot of fun?
Is Kevin Hart funny all the time?
No, Kevin Hart's got business side to him.
Okay,
he's great. He's got a good attitude. He's a good leader on the set, and that's nice.
All right,
awesome.
We spent a long time hanging out, like all the guys who were groomsmen and Kevin and Josh, and just it was a lot of time that we all spent together for this shoot, and it was a lot of fun. Kind of a great camaraderie.
Josh is big too, because I mean he's plays Olaf from Frozen, right? Isn't he the voice?
Right.
So for all your Frozen fans, all your kids, they're Frozen fans.
I still haven't seen it.
This is not a movie for kids, though.
It isn't. But for the parents that have watched Frozen 10,000 times.
Definitely a rated R comedy. I actually recently just finally saw Frozen.
And what'd
I was
you
like,
think?
Okay. So now in context, I like the song more than I did before.
I would agree. Vetico makes more sense.
When she's building all the, and then when she like does the transformation thing, and I was like going, did they like sex her up when she converts to the
ice queen? Yeah, she does a little bit.
I was like going, did her figure get a little more what?
Well, I think the dress
am I analyzing a cartoon too much? But that first scene of Olaf where he's like, why it was hilarious. I actually, after I saw it, I backed it up to watch it again. I thought it was such a great opening.
Yeah. It was, I liked it. It definitely seems overplayed and probably is overplayed and all that kind of stuff. But my wife and I watched it during a snow day last year and we enjoyed it a lot.
I said, and, I go back and forth about like, okay, so what is this? What are the wrong hidden messages I can get out of some of these movies sometimes? And I go, you know, like when you see The Little Mermaid, it's like going, women, girls, do whatever you have to do
to get the guy.
Yes, even if even sell the thing that makes you special.
Yep. Yep.
And this one was like, hey, don't let your magic out. Hide it. Mm-hmm. Hide it till you're alone out in the woods somewhere. Climb a mountain far away from everybody and then let your magic out.
That's in Frozen?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I will say...
A little bit of that. And I go,
But I will say, at least they don't. They kind of make fun of the whole love, like just the kind of prince and prince charming, you know, princess and prince charming kind of thing where... You know, we're going to get engaged after seeing each other for a day, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But no, I thought it was good.
Well, happily ever after. I mean, that's the whole idea. Right?
Happily ever after is a myth. No. Yeah.
Well, like you have Lion King where you can't wait till his dad dies so he can become king.
It is one of the flaws of that film.
Yeah. he actually sings it.
That's what being a king is about, though. That's all about. That's just being a king, whether you're a liar or not.
Right.
It's true. It's true. All right.
Plus, I'm throwing a flag at the animals all coming and to see the king be raised up like the little. It's like 7-Eleven. It was too convenient for the animal. The lions. They would not show up. But
isn't there something with someone like the translation of that opening thing is just like, hey everybody, it's a lion. Check this out. It's a lion, baby. It's a lion. Like, that's what the words mean.
Oh, really? I had not heard that. That's
cool. There's something on the internet where someone just kind of like says, hey, it's a lion. Guess what? This is a lion.
It's a lion. Guess what? It's a lion. It's a lion. It's like,
lion. They're going to eat you.
Lion.
Lion. But I like the lion because we take you kids to see it?
Oh, yeah. I saw it 6 times in theaters. Like,
it was a drive-in, wasn't it?
We did the drive-in one of the times we saw it.
Drive-in, I think so.
One of the times.
The good old days where we could afford to take you guys to the movies.
Because the drive-in is cheap.
So this is, I just Googled it. All right. So it's Nats Ngonyama Bagatiti Baba means here comes the lion, father. And then Sithi Ngonyama is like, oh, yes, it's a lion.
I feel like you have to do that with the Christopher Walken voice though. Yeah. Hey, it's a lion.
It's comes a lion, father.
Gotta have more cowbell.
Oh man. So hey,
do we have a song?
We have a song to premiere here today that Jorge put together. A nice little treat for somebody that heard back in the day on the last podcast.
I feel like all right, then I'm out of here. All right. See you guys later.
But we did a song called 4-8-15-16-23-42 Lenny. And Jorge actually wrote the lyrics to that song. God, it was like 5, 6, 7 years ago, whatever it was.
Well, it was a group. It was a group.
Yeah, it was a group kind of.
Like it was like you, Ryan, and then you send to me. And we were all like, each of us had like our inputs of what we felt the lyrics should go or what they should say.
And it was, I think I even sent Because, yeah, it was Rhino Zawa's involved, too. But sent you the kind of raw GarageBand tracks. And last time we recorded, you surprised us with what you're calling Lenny My Way.
Right, because I found the file. Yeah.
So do you want to set it up for the audience at home? Or
well, there was just like there's certain parts. And I was going, I had thought about doing it back then, and then I flinched on it, basically. and you guys did it, and it's kind of like if you do not act on your impulse, you will applaud them in somebody else later. and so I was always had this thing going, you know what? You know, that would have been good to just kind of like done, because there's certain aspects of like, oh no. Like certain parts of that I go, oh no, I think this type of phrasing works better for this, that, or the other. I mean, it's just, you know, opinion, but that's just kind of like how I felt. I don't know if you, so that's kind of what then coming across the file and being like going, oh, I should totally do this for this finale episode. I don't know. I'm now wondering if you guys should sing back up on it or not. Like maybe.
No,
maybe you should jump in there and do the backup bit.
No, I've already had my run at this one, and I've retired from it. Yeah, I almost quit podcasting because of it. It's pretty bad, and when your son's sitting over there yelling at you because you can't get the line right, you can't get the. Thing right, and I'm telling you, I can't do it.
How can you not do it? It's so easy.
I don't know how many takes we did. Finally, I said, "I'm done. Just do what we have."
It was kind of like, "I got nowhere else to go."
Exactly.
It's like a theater mom in reverse.
Yeah, I just quit.
He was like your pageant mom.
Couldn't, and then people were like going. And then I get crap because people go, how could you not just say the numbers? I go, I couldn't sing the numbers. Like, well, I can't sing anyway, but I can't sing. I just couldn't do it. Some things I can't do.
But this was an absolute surprise.
You couldn't have my phrasing. My phrasing, you would have got down. It would have been easier. Yeah. Had he done it my way, my version, I think you would have been fine.
You're probably right. It better, you're, you know.
It's a shame that Jay's version just ruined the whole song.
Dang. Well, hold on now. I was trying to fit a lot into a small space, but you're right. I think stretching it out a little bit and taking away the Lenny does make the phrasing a little easier.
Again, you got to go to the source material and be like, he stretches that last nine a long time. He goes, he thinks about three, and he goes, nine.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's true.
6, 7, 5, 3, 0, 9. Yeah, you're right. See, I could have done that. Those numbers worked.
That's true. That's true. Well, now
you guys remember the story behind that whole, I don't know if we talked about before, is everyone that had that number had to change their number.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. In every city because people were calling that number.
Yeah.
Well, now we will premiere for the first time Lenny My Way. Which is 4, 8, 15, 16, 20, 42.
The song is just Lenny. It's just My Way is
Lenny did it my way.
It's just the file I sent it to you, so you differentiate it from your way.
But I kind of like it that way, though. I like that.
Does it really matter who gets credit?
It's not like a mashup of Lenny and the song My Way.
That's true. That could be misleading. But we will go to that song right now to carry us out.
Although that is a pretty good idea of doing like a My Way, a Lost Rhythm in My Way.
Oh my
and
god!
It's like
I think we've
like we thought we were all dead, you know?
Or were we dead the whole time? If you want to make the haters happy, you gotta...
yeah, right.
To really troll people, that'd be good.
Yeah, ending it my way.
Actually, that's a good ending it my way, and then you go through all the different ways people want it to end.
All the stuff that pissed people off at the ending. Well, that's actually pretty great.
Yeah.
What was the church and didn't?
I think in this one episode we've come up with a new album of lost parody songs. Oh my god. But anyways, Jorge, thank you again so much for coming on. It's always a blast getting to hang out and talk with you and podcast with you. Hopefully maybe at some point we can get together again and do something for some of these episodes down the road.
Sure.
But thank you so much. And definitely go out and see The Wedding Ringer tomorrow.
And stay to the end.
Is today Thursday? Today's Wednesday. Yeah, tomorrow's so Friday. Tomorrow, when you hear this podcast, check it out. And also Hawaii 5-0, which is on ABC, right? ABC. CBS.
CBS.
Sorry.
Come CBS. On. I did have a couple questions for you, real quick. Does Dano not like Jerry?
Does Dano like... Well...
He wasn't. You weren't invited. Well, Jerry wasn't invited to the Christmas party.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was like, oh, yeah, he wasn't invited to the Christmas party. there's this thing between Danny and Jerry that you know because there's one. I don't know. This for the most part, he's kind of always kind of like. Undercutting anything, any of his theories, anything he says. And so he tries, and then Jerry will throw it back at him too. I always feel like Jerry's trying to come between Danny and McGarrett. Because it's like almost like he wants to, in a way, push Dano out of the picture if he could. That would be his dream, that he would be McGarrett's partner. And there's one moment where. Danny has a line saying when he thinks that, you know, I think it's the one when I got kidnapped and he was like, listen, look, I get it. I love the guy. He's great. And I was like going, oh, wow. That's the first time I ever heard him say something like that. That was like, you know, nice about Jerry. Cause yeah, there is a bit of an antagonism in their relationship for sure.
I just noted, I said, wow, Jerry's not at the final.
That's a
snub.
It kind of bugged me. I'm not going to lie. And I like Dano, but that kind of bugged me.
That was one of the episodes I wasn't in at all.
Yeah, no. And then the last episode, you drive the truck.
I saved the day.
You saved the day, but it almost reminded me of when you drove the Dharma van.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, I said, oh, because I actually put that as we put it on our Facebook page. I put that as a spoiler alert. It was something I saw, but then some.
That is my weapon of choice.
Yeah, some people didn't get it. They said, "I don't get it. I saw the episode. What are you talking about?" I go, "The whole
vans.
Thing, the vans thing." Yeah, you have to kind of explain it to people.
Now I saw the picture of you in a Ferrari. Did you get to drive that Ferrari?
Maybe.
Oh, all right. Okay, all right.
I love Ferraris.
Yeah, keep watching.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Jack's favorite.
Oh, you're asking like, did I actually get to drive
it? Get to drive it, yeah.
If I got towed in it,
yeah.
Like, did I actually get to?
Did you get to? Yeah, did you? Yeah, you get to actually do it. Yeah,
I did. Actually, because there was a thing where we shot, what they call poor man's process, mm-hmm. on the Ferrari, which is like they had this thing where it's like they're shooting in the Ferrari with like a screen of the streets. Moving behind me, mm-hmm. so you know, kind of like so it looks like I'm driving it, and yeah. I think it didn't quite have the look that they wanted of going down the street with the top open and all that kind of stuff. So that was in the reshoot for that episode that included doing it that way, doing it the right way with like
nice.
The helicopter shot and stuff like that. So yeah, that's coming up.
Is that the one Daniel Day-Kim directs?
No. That was a pickup for an episode that's going to air sooner. Okay. Daniel's episode, which we also shot this week, is doesn't have me driving it. Okay. I have a different part in that one.
All right.
I have a bit with Cloris Leachman.
Oh, really?
Who is also in The Wedding Ringer, by the way. Which opens this Friday.
Awesome. Nice.
Awesome.
Every bit of promotion helps.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much. We'll see you guys 2 weeks from now with season 2 of Lost. And next week you will hear the first ever Lost podcast, which will talk about the first two episodes.
Just skip that one.
It's 16 minutes long, and it's Jack's best podcast he's ever done.
16 minutes of podcasting gold.
Oh, my.
1-6?
Yep, 1-6.
Wow.
I say 5 words for the whole thing.
Yeah, it was a good time. It was a good time. We're finding ourselves.
That just means we're talking too long now.
Maybe. I don't know. Well,
you can't.
This is a long show.
It was 2 hours. I actually might split this one up. 2 hours is a long.
And that's not even counting the half hour we talked before, right?
No.
Right. Well, no. The half hour we talked before is part of that 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
It's good. No, it says it's 2:25 or something like that. So yeah, you're right.
Okay.
That's that's the pregame.
You missed all the really good stuff.
Yeah.
You had to be there, man. You had to be there.
And we're sworn to secrecy, so we can't say it. So.
Personal phone call bits.
Yeah. Right. Oh man.
This is the only time we ever talk.
It's the only time we get to hang out. Yeah. You know, you live in California and we're in boring North Carolina.
I know Hawaii right now.
That's true. Hawaii. That's
even worse.
Even further.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Also, say goodbye and enjoy Lenny My Way or Lenny Jorge's Way. Lost My Way is coming up the next.
Just time. Lenny.
Or just Lenny. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.
Four, eight, 15, 16, 23, 42.